Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Tuesday, November 12th, 2024. Have your host, James J. Mailoff here. And it's time for Realty Radio. We are going to speak with David Farnborough right now, a local broker here in our area. And Dave and I are going to talk about real estate in general, but we're taking a different approach to it today, David. We're going to be talking a little bit about AI in real estate. And if you don't mind, I think one of the good ways to do this, just to make sure to cover our bases, if you will, let's get into what AI is a little bit. I feel like you and I were talking about this in our pregame a little bit. So many people hear the term AI, and they may think they know what it is, or they may not really have a comprehension of what it is. Let's dive into a little bit of what AI refers to and what it means.
Hello, James. It's great to be back with you. And yeah, there are a few things that I was planning on saying, and then I realized that probably people don't want to hear a lecture about the history of learning machines going way back to Babbage's analytical engine.
Nice. Wow.
In the Victorian era.
As a side note, I want to hear that episode. So we'll do that on a side, just as a side podcast.
Yeah, we'll talk about that some other time. But one of the things that we've striven for as the human race has been to make machines which learn in the way that we do. So anyone can make a machine that just does what you tell it, and that's, you know, you can program your Roomba to go around the floor and clean the and clean the floor, but what you want it to do is to learn where the objects are and then to avoid them. And artificial intelligence does those things, but it also takes it a step further. And the reason we can do that is that year on year, the capability of microprocessors gets more and more powerful. So there's a thing called Moore's Law, which I'm sure you've heard of, which is a saying which was established about 50 years ago by one of the founders of Intel, the microprocessor company. And that is that every 2 years, the number of transistors built into an integrated circuit doubles. And you can extend that to say that basically the capability of what we do with our computers doubles every 2 years. Now, that's obviously an approximation, mm-hmm. but if you imagine something doubling and doubling and doubling, well, first of all, it's not very much. So instead of two, you've got four, then you've got eight, then you've got 16. Mm. But it's not long before you're going up to 1024, 2048. It gets very big very quickly. Mm-hmm. And this is what's happened with our technology. The rate of increase is astonishing.
We have we've gotten to a point, and we got to this a while ago, actually, where the technology advanced quicker than we could advance with it.
I think that's a very good way of talking about AI. And in fact, that's one of the reasons that a lot of people are saying, I'm a bit scared of AI. Right. And there's good reasons for that, because, we invented the atom bomb. And then we didn't really know how to control
right.
it. So AI is something which we use all the time. It's all around us, and we really don't notice it unless we know it's there. So, for example, I watched a video on YouTube a couple of days ago about President Grover Cleveland, and I was watching it. I was thinking, there's something weird about this. The voice is mispronouncing a few words, and it's putting the slight wrong emphasis on some of the words. And then I realized the whole thing was computer generated. Hmm. So the video was made by somebody in India, but the voice was an American voice, mm-hmm. but it was AI generated.
Yeah.
And also all the pictures in the video were generated by AI. Hmm. And I would be very surprised if the script was not also generated by AI.
Yeah.
So we do have AI in so many places. Mm-hmm. If you have one of those home speaker devices, I was going to say the name of it, Alexa,
nice.
But if I said the name, everybody's
everybody's
would go off. So, you know, if you have one of those, if you have an Echo in your house, mm-hmm. The voice that talks back to you is not a recording. Mm-hmm. It's not a synthesis. It's an AI voice. So Just to briefly explain, one of the ways that it works is it uses a thing called opposition or adversarial networks. Mm-hmm. So what you have there is, rather than just having a computer generating something, you have two computers talking to each other. So one generates, and then the second gives it feedback and says, this doesn't look right. Mm-hmm. And then the generating AI says, oh, okay, I'll change it a little bit. Mm. And the second one says, that's better. Or, well, no, you still need to tweak this. And it's not just the four stages that I've outlined. It just goes on and on very, very, very quickly.
Right.
Until you get these amazing things. Like, if you've ever seen somebody can generate an AI photograph of themselves that looks like it's really them.
Yeah.
I did that once for my Facebook profile. Mm-hmm. And then somebody saw it. In fact, it's on our community theatre website. Mm. Because Linda, the wonderful lady who does our webpage, just took my photo from Facebook, and she had not realized it was AI generated. So my picture on the community theater website is actually an AI artifice. It's that good.
Wow. But it explains to so much of this explains, I think, where we've gotten to this point where we have AI, whether it is we're texting somebody and autocorrect correct something, or some of the bigger things that, like, you, the Grover Cleveland video that you refer to. I think that a lot of this too, when we're talking about these things, whether we're repeating anything anybody knows or not, it is normalizing and getting people more and more familiar with these terms, with what this is. I don't believe that AI is something to fear. I think what human beings do with it certainly can be a concern, but especially when we're talking about the entertainment industry and some other aspects of it. But the more we understand AI, the better the more comfortable we get with it. And keep an eye on it, certainly, but also at the same time, oh, wait a minute, I don't have to be afraid of that. If you've been afraid of the dark at any point in your life, at some point or another, hopefully you get to a place where you realize, well, when I'm looking at a dark alley, it looks really dark, but once I get inside it, it's actually kind of light in here. It's not that dark at all. I can actually see my hand and things. I feel like a lot of this is that once we understand something, we don't fear it as much. We may not like it, we may not be a fan of it, but that's very different than having a fear of something. The more we talk about these things, and part of the reason I'm happy to have this conversation is, hey, we're talking about AI, we're familiarizing people with it, getting you more and more familiar with it.
That's absolutely right. And I think we also have to look at it in historical context. So mm-hmm. if we look at the Industrial Revolution, there were a lot of people who were very much against some of the machines. Yeah. So one of the typical examples is the threshing machine. Mm-hmm. You know, people would have the threshing machines really simplify and speed up the work on a farm at harvest. And all the people whose job it had been to manually take those bales of crops and thresh them now said, well, hang on, I'm being put out of a job. And they sabotaged the machines and they got in terrible trouble. Nowadays, 200 years on from that, we look at that and we think, well, hang on a minute, those people could have been threshing machine operators.
Mm-hmm.
So when we look at something like AI, it's slightly different, because there will be some jobs which won't be so important. So I'll give you a case in point. I'm wearing a shirt now with my Rapids Homes logo mm-hmm. on it, and I designed that using AI. Hmm. Now, I don't want to say AI did it, because if AI had done it, it wouldn't have been good. What I did was I had an idea. Mm. So, you know, the initial imagination is mine.
Right, right.
I fed that into an AI, and the AI generated several examples. I wasn't happy with those, so I refined my instructions and made it generate some more.
Mm.
When it came up with one, I thought, that looks really good. I took that and then I had to adjust it. Why did I have to adjust it? Two reasons. Firstly, the words Rapids Homes, it had garbled and it came out with something like, you know, Roman Homes or something.
Right, right.
So that's one of the limitations of image generation. That and people having six fingers, which you sometimes see.
Yeah.
The other thing was that there were just a few tweaks I had to make. But after that, I took it to a professional graphic designer who actually made some really good tweaks, which depended on his skill, knowing things like which colors work best and how to balance a design. So yes, I used AI, but I didn't just generate something and go straight ahead and print it.
Right. When it comes to, I'm a horrible speller. I am one of the world's worst spellers. So when it comes to AI, often in text or in an email or something like that, it saves me, David. It makes me sound a little bit smarter than I am because it corrects words for me. So that is helpful and it works a lot of way, but it has its limitations. Certainly anybody who has ever tried to text a swear word understands this.
yes.
And to that
I don't give a shiv.
Nicely done. So to what David and I are talking about here as far as what AI is capable of and its limitations, I think for one, go back to what we were saying before, it gives a little less fear, I would think, in people. Like, hey, this isn't something that can necessarily do much without your assistance and without your help.
That's right.
And I think that's a key part of this conversation. No computer has ever turned itself on. No AI system is, thinking for itself or anything. David kind of broke this down for you of how that works and how your participation in this goes. And with that, kind of shows not only the limitations, but I also feel like it shows the control that we have over these things.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. We have to realize that it is within our control. Mm-hmm. So, for example, I do notice that some realtors use AIs to create their listing descriptions. And you've got to be careful because often what happens is it will fill it full of cliches. I've even seen it happen where somebody fed in to ChatGPT that they want to write a listing description for a house with 5 bedrooms and 3 bathrooms. And the listing description that was spat out was quite good, but it also said that there was an in-ground swimming pool. And the reason for that is that the AI just took typical other examples of listings with 5 bedrooms and 3 bathrooms, mm-hmm. and obviously thought that a swimming pool would be a good thing to add. Now, if that agent had then just gone ahead and published that, that would have led to problems.
Oh,
so
yeah.
You've got to read it, and you've then got to correct it and improve it.
We're speaking with David Farnborough on Realty Radio right now, and we've talked a little bit about AI, what AI is and how it its limitations, the work that it can do. Let's talk about AI in real estate, David, and get into how it applies with the real estate industry.
Okay, well, there's a couple of examples I just gave, like the logo generation and the listing description. One of the ways that I use AI a lot is in smoothing and upscaling images. So a lot of the time, some of the images I take, they may have problems because of low light, which are just functions of the building that I'm photographing in. And an AI can take that image and it can brighten where appropriate, just so that people can see what they're meant to be seeing. Mm-hmm. Sometimes there are things like you're not getting quite the definition you need on an image, and an AI can upscale that. Also, for video generation, they can do a lot of they can actually generate a video from a 3D image that I take with my 3D camera, which can be immensely helpful. I also use them for virtual tours because I do virtual tours for all of my listings. Yeah. And although I'll only take a 3D photograph of each room, the AI will be able to put together the transition from room to room. So you actually feel like you're moving.
That's really cool.
Through the property. The other thing that it will often do, in fact, I also do this for every listing I have, is that I use it to create plans. Mm-hmm. Now, floor plans are really important for houses because sometimes you're looking at the photographs and you're thinking, well, hang on a minute, which bedroom is which? And, you know, you need to know things like whether you have to walk through a bedroom to get to another bedroom. Mm-hmm. And a floor plan can really help to make that clear before you've even set foot in the property. But again, you have to be careful because it does make mistakes. And I've come up with, often I've been given the results back that are not quite accurate. And so I think, well, I've got to tell it where the staircase is. And so I have to go back and correct them. Mm-hmm. But that's the important thing. You need to have oversight and you need to not be lazy. That's the thing. This doesn't mean you can be lazy. It means you can work harder on other things.
The intent of AI was always to do what you're referring to here, David. I'm doing my job. Hey, can you fill in the blanks, AI? Hey, can you help polish this a little bit maybe, or do something that I just physically cannot do or my camera can't do or something like that? It's an assistant. It's a fork. It's a spoon. It's something that assists us in our job. It assists us in what we do.
That's right. And it doesn't mean the graphic designer is being put out of work, because I still had to go to the graphic designer.
Yeah. And I think that part of this is interesting, too, because especially when we're talking about real estate and all these things that you mentioned there are great. I love the idea of anything that can help out our agents out there and certainly helping out home buyers and sellers. Are there things that people should be aware of, like, hey, you want to keep an eye on this part of it? This is where, you know, some of the, I don't want to say fear or anything like that, but hey, this is something that could be an issue, could be a problem to look out for.
Yeah, I'll give you a very good example, and that is online valuations. I went round to do a listing presentation at a person's house the other day, and I pulled up online valuations from four different websites, and the lowest was 115,000, the highest was 230,000. Now, if those are done by AI, why aren't they accurate? Well, The AI has not been inside the house. The AI doesn't know about the additional bedroom they put in. Hmm. The person hadn't sold this particular home in 20 years, so there's no listing data that the AI can take from the MLS. So the AIs can be working with very limited data, and they do their best job, but you just have to be cautious. So if you're looking at the Zestimate or whatever Realtor.com calls their estimate, you've got to be careful, because that does not mean that's the value of the property.
Well, and, from what the little bit of research I was able to do on this, a lot of your bigger conglomerate kind of like agencies might use these things. It's part of why we encourage you to always, buy local, support local, and especially in this industry. When you're talking to a local, you're talking to a community member, you're talking to maybe a future neighbor or just at least a community member, somebody who is certainly, I don't want to say has stake in this, because all realtors, I believe, do have stake in what they're doing. It's so much of a reputation business. But when it's a local person you're talking to, you're really getting somebody who has been in that building, has been in that house, and really understands what they're talking about, and is talking to somebody that they want to put in that home. They want to help. They want to put in the right home, not just any home.
That's right. And also a local person will know the difference between a home that's, just to one side of the airport, like the one I was looking at the other day, and one which is maybe right next to 8th Street. And, you know, I was looking at the valuations, and actually I use AI tools to help me with valuations as well, but I use my brain too. My AI suggested I used a house that was over in Grand Rapids, way out in the country, because it said, okay, it's got a Wisconsin Rapids mailing address, it's got 54494, and it's three bedroom, two bathroom. But it was completely different. It was completely different in terms of the area and in terms of the style of house.
So looking ahead here, you've mentioned that you use AI a little bit and everything. Do you see this being a real asset to the real estate industry as we kind of fine tune this more and we get AI to be more harnessed to what we need it to be and everything?
It already is. And I've been using it probably for at least 2 years. I think that the thing to be careful of is not to be overconfident, to supervise it, just like you would any assistant. And to make sure that you use the time you've saved with the AI to work harder on other things.
Very well said. A great topic today, David. This was a lot of fun. This was great getting into this and hearing how this impacts an industry that I don't think we get to talk about nearly enough with AI in that. So appreciate the topic today. And as always, appreciate the time with you. We're looking forward to next month again already in another episode of Realty Radio. David, if people have follow-up questions, want to know more about what we talked about today or just you as a realtor, how can they get in touch with you?
Well, they can look me up on Facebook and they can tell me any corrections they need to about my technical description of AI on my Facebook Realtor page, David Farnborough Realtor. Or they can text me on 715-323-8594.
Encourage you to do that, everybody. Buy local, support local, support those that support this community and support us. We appreciate you, David. Thank you again so much for the time. Looking forward to next month, and I'm sure we'll have some fun things to talk about. I know that you and I got a pregame a little bit here, so we'll have some good stuff.
I'm sure we will. Thank you, James.
We'll have another Midday Magazine lined up for you tomorrow, everybody. Looking ahead at the rest of the week here at Midday Magazine from 4 to 5, be sure to join us tomorrow when we'll have Family Natural Foods in with us, Stephen and Katrina Hittner, and in part two, Encourage. On Thursday, we'll be talking with our friends from UW Extension. Anna Mitchell will be with us. On Friday, Senator Patrick Teston, and then we'll wrap the week up with Breakfast with Santa. Pete's going to be in for that. Be sure to be listening for Community Stories with Melissa Kay, 5 to 6 Tuesdays and Thursdays, and plenty more right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. We are locally grown radio.